Very good. And I appreciated I had opportunity again to preach for Pastor Dewey Stewart last Sunday. Did their Sunday school and their morning service. Tried to be a blessing to them, and Pastor Kinney did my lesson, I believe. So now you're stuck with me again. I know it was good last week, but we'll see how it goes. You're used to suffering? Amen. Yes. Open your Bibles again to Romans chapter 12. And hopefully we'll be finishing the book of Romans. Hopefully. If I don't, I'll get in trouble with my boss. And that's how that works. Your memory verse. That was an easy one for me this week. Memorized that a long time ago. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice. What is the rest of it? Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your... We have a reasonable God. God is not unreasonable what he asks of you. I want you to understand, God's mercy and grace is so much greater than what... You can't fathom it in the world. You can't. And so it's one of the things we're going to learn a little bit about that. Again, you know, God doesn't want you just to come to church. He wants us. By the mercies of God that you present your what? Bodies. Where you go, what you do, what you say, he wants. He wants. Now, some people take that and they get holier than thou, but I spent some time talking to somebody this week and I told him, you know, God's got a sense of humor. He laughed at me for quite a few years before I came to Christ. Right? He who sits in heaven shall laugh. He shall have the what? The heathen in derision. So that's the same stuff that makes my wife laugh when I do Lego things. Makes God laugh also. And I've been in churches where they were so holy, God didn't feel he could approach them. Okay? I firmly believe you should enjoy your Christianity. You should enjoy your worship service. Okay? Take the preaching of God's word and the work of the Holy Spirit in your life very seriously. Okay? But don't take yourself too seriously. You know, and Paul begs the Romans to present themselves unto the Lord as if they were a holy living sacrifice. How did that happen? How can you do that? You die to self and live for him. That's an ongoing process because my flesh keeps rearing itself up. You ever had that problem? Any of you have that, or maybe you're fully sanctified? Okay. My flesh will rear up, and I have to be careful. I was teasing with somebody, and I said, I have to be careful with what I say sometimes because Pastor Kenny and I both like to tweak each other. We zing all the time, and we have to be careful. We can't do that to other people because sometimes I had someone tell me I'm his associate, so I can get even. I don't know if you understand that, but he used to do that to me, and now it's thing. But the thing is, he's more vindictive than I am, and you can't get away from that. But I want you to understand, God resisteth the proud but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. Let the Lord lift you up. If you spend your time worrying about what other people say about you, you're looking at the wrong one. You need to be concerned what God says about you. Amen? The book of Romans packed with so many instructions. I tell people in the beginning, because again, when we see someone get saved, the first thing I tell them to do is read the book of John. They need to get better in their hearts and minds that Jesus Christ is God the Son. Not just a son of God or the son of God. He is God the Son. And then the book of Romans. And it starts off, it's almost like God is using that book. It is a legal brief proving your unworthiness and then proving God's mercy and grace. And so you have that things. And so, you know, we're supposed to be subject to higher authorities. Now, for some of us, it's easier to pray for President Trump than it was to pray for who? President Biden. But the Word of God commanded, and I would pray daily simply because I wanted God to get me through. Okay? Pray for those who are in authority over us. We're taught to obey higher powers in the book of Romans. You know, and some of the bitterness that we look at on the other side of the spectrum, I'm not a conservative. I'm a Bible believer. That takes me farther right. Okay? And so you got to understand that with that. But, you know, we're also supposed to live our lives that we are not a stumbling block for others. If you spend all your time arguing with someone who's not saved and who doesn't believe like you, you will not win them. Because it becomes personal between you and them. You got to make them make it personal with who? God. I've seen people saved. He says, I'm not arguing with you. Give them scripture verses and say, I'm praying for you. And I maybe you don't do this, but I pray God gets a hold of people's hearts. And sometimes with that, God's got to put them through something that they cannot handle, that doesn't make any sense. And so then they have to turn to look and say, help me. And some have compassion making a difference, others hating even what? The garment spotted by the flesh. So you have that. There's more to the Christian life than just dying to self. If we obey God's principle of sacrifice, we will see Christ being lifted up. If you don't die to self and elevate him, you're only done half the job. And that's part of what we're going to see in the book of Romans. And I want you to understand this, okay? We used to do a thing with the old addictions ministry. They've adopted certain things around. It's the same thing. They used to talk about DBR. You had to die, had to be buried, and you had to be resurrected, new creature in Christ. You can see this in the Old Testament. I want you to turn quickly. I'll get to the lesson, I promise. Leviticus 16. Leviticus 16. Let's go to verse 7. And he shall take two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat from which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Leviticus 16, you can learn some things about the scapegoat. But that picture is one dies, the other lives. The one that lives is sent into the wilderness. Once you're saved, you know what this world is to you? It's a wilderness. Okay, and so that's supposed to be there as a testimony. You can learn more things about the scapegoat in this chapter, but I want you to realize that picture of death and life in the sacrifice to God, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That means the way you live is sacrifice to him, not on the altar of self. You know what we get caught with? We get caught with ourselves. We are to die to self, but to be alive in who? I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ, what? Liveth in me, that the life I now live, where? In the flesh. I live by the faith of who? Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Dead to self, alive unto God. There's so many other verses that'll speak about that. You know, the Apostle Paul was smarter than most people. He was a genius. You know, he came through the ranks of the Judaism, the Jewish religion. He came up, he sat at the feet of Gamaliel, the greatest teacher of the law known at that time. And he was more zealous of his religion when he was Saul than almost others. He was consenting at the death of Stephen. Do you know what he had to learn? That Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. We get in trouble when we lift ourselves up. It gets in the way of our living for the Lord. We're a living sacrifice. This morning, I want you to think about it. You make choice on every decision you make. Maybe you don't even think about it. Sometimes it's so ingrained in you, sometimes the way we live in this world, that we don't stop to think about it. But what was the challenge that Joshua gave to the children of Israel as he went into the land? Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether it be the gods of our fathers outside of the flood, or the gods of the people of the land, or the gods of the land in which we dwell. But as for me and my house, man, it starts with you. Your wives will follow if you're willing to be the man and lead. Still love me, guys? When we let our wives lead, things are out of balance. There's some women that don't have husbands here. Okay? Do you know for years there was women in this church, they'd say, Pastor, I don't have a husband. I need God's guidance. Will you help me make the decision I need to make? I believe that's biblical. Obey them that have what? For they watch for your souls. I just kept praying, Lord, please help them and help me to make a decision right for them because I don't trust me. So you can either choose this day, you're either going to say, I will follow the Lord or I will live for me. That's what it comes down to in everyone. Now we'll get to our lesson. Romans chapter 12. The first thing you see, it's a sacrifice. Romans 12, a sacrifice. A living sacrifice. We're the scapegoat. In the world, you know what you are? What's the term we use the word scapegoat? That means the one you blame, right? You put the blame on, he's the scapegoat. That's the way government works. The corruption starts higher up, but they always dump somebody below, right? Isn't that how that works? That happens in any hospital. Stuff rolls downhill. Do you know nurses take responsibility for decisions that were made by doctors? Okay, got a nurse here shaking her head. I'm just telling you, the scapegoat. You know what you are in this world? You're their scapegoat. They want to blame you. Well, you think you're so special. You think you got a special relationship with God. But you're no better than me. They'll blame you. You will get blamed for something. And so, if you hadn't said this, I wouldn't have felt guilty about it. There's so many other comparisons. There's a scapegoat there, but we're a living sacrifice. You know what we struggle with? I have to put myself down every day. Every day. Paul tells us, by the inspiration of God, that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Do you know nothing dies easy? It takes the mercies of God to enable us to do that. I tell you, sometimes Judy and I look and I go, oh, thank God that I am not what I used to be. Amen. But God, help me because I'm not what I ought to be. Right. Amen? Right. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. I appeal to God's mercy every day. For I know that in me that is in my flesh, what? both no good thing. No good thing. Okay? We're to give ourselves for him because he gave himself for us. Stay in Romans chapter 12. I won't make you turn there, but I'm going to go quickly if I can. You know, that's the lie of a preacher. Quickly turn to. Let me see here because I didn't put a marker in. First Corinthians chapter 15. Did I mark the right one? No, I didn't. So I guess we won't. Yes, it is. I'm looking at the wrong page. This is the Apostle Paul. I was looking at 51. I want verse 31. Speaking of Jesus, it says, "For he must," verse 25, "for he must reign till he put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest," it's made openly known, "that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him," that's unto who? Jesus Christ. "Then shall the Son," see the context? "The Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all." There's going to be a time when the Godhead comes back together. You see one God. That's the struggle that the Jews have. They see one God. They don't see three people in one God. And it'll come together because you know who will be the outward appearing, the witness of Jesus Christ once the God is all in all? It's going to be the believers. Because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay? "Else what shall they do which were baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord." What's the last of that verse say? "I die daily." It's reasonable to give our lives to God. When you ask a woman to marry you, you know what you're asking her to do? To come into your sphere of authority and control and government. To raise your children, if you have some. To help keep your home. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? The picture I want you to understand there. Men, you'll ask a woman to give up her liberty and freedom and her independence to be stuck with you. I'm so much more thankful that I have a Savior who is so much better than me. Okay? Women, when you rebel against that, you know what you're rebelling against? God's order. That's not in the notes, but I just thought I'd give that to you. Someone will tell me, I've had people, you know, "I know I'm not doing right, but God, he has my heart. I love him. I love him." When you love somebody, you choose their betterment over your betterment, or it's not real love. Because God's love is a giving love, not a receiving love. Amen? God doesn't have their body. He doesn't have your heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The way you think will affect the way you live. You have to protect your mind from the world. A long time ago, I learned, okay, and it was because, believe it or not, as much as a dinosaur as I am, I went to school for electronics. See, I learned computer language before most of you were born. I learned Fortran Basic. You know, if Shannon's husband was here, he would laugh at that. Okay, Fortran Basic is like when they had the great big computers that would fill whole rooms and you'd put the punch cards in. Okay. And you know what they taught us? Garbage in, garbage out. You put the wrong input into a computer, it's not going to give you the right data. Well, guess what, people? You put so much of the world in, you know what you're going to get out? Okay? So what I'm saying with that is you need to protect your mind from the world. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I want to ask you guys, how many of you spend half as much time in your Bible as you do taking information in from the world? If you spent half as much time in your Bible as you spent having to listen to people or reading something or watching the television or watching a video or watching a movie or talking and trying to get information for somebody who knows stuff about you don't know. Hey, for years, I've always, you know, I don't claim to be. I am a jack of all trades, the master of none. Okay? Pastor Kinney's learning it. You keep certain people on your deacon's board because of their abilities. Okay? He's learned that. I had to learn that. I don't open the hood on my car and say, I don't know what I'm doing. I think I'll start taking this apart. I left it up to my son, Michael. You laugh. He used to take his bicycle apart. When he got done, it'd go very fast, but he forgot to put the you know, when you used to have the, I'm not talking English-style bikes with the handbrakes. I'm talking the one where you push on the back pedal, okay, and it would break the wheel. Well, he took that part of that gear out. And he forgot about it when he was redoing his bike. And so going downhill, it wouldn't stop. He probably doesn't remember it because that's one of the beginning of his hitting his head. And he's looking, shaking his head at me because he's become an illustration. I can see him out the window. All right. He can figure things out. When I don't know something about a car, I talk to people who know about cars. When it comes to carpentry, I talk to people who know about carpentry. Okay. I used to keep Russ Getman on the board because he was more of a master of more things, okay? So I want you to understand things with this. You can't know everything. You'll spend time trying to get information from people in the world. But you know what you need? You need enough of the Word of God in you so that you can filter what they're saying through the Word of God and make the right choice. Because the final authority in everything is God. Not the world. You still with me? See, because it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What's the next verse say? Be not conformed unto this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You have to have a transformed mind, or you'll think like the world. And then as a Christian, when you think like the world, it's very frustrating because you end up not really fitting in the world and not feeling comfortable with God. That's Romans 12 for us. Go back to our text. So you have the sacrifice that takes place. Okay, like verse 17 of Romans 12. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide all things what? Honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible, as much as it lieth in you. Sometimes there's less lying there with me than others. Live peaceably what? Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. In other words, don't stay there. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. God takes care of things so much better than you. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, if he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt put him in a place where God's going to deal with what he's done to you. That's basically what's going to happen. Thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So you have sacrifice, the first thing. The second thing you have is subjection. Let every soul be what? Subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now, that's fine. A liberal wants us to believe that when the liberals are the so-called progressives. I don't believe that's progressive. I believe that's deterioration, you know. Second law of thermal, the first and second laws of thermodynamics. It doesn't go to better. It tends to fall apart. All right? And they wanted us to submit themselves to that. Now, we have a different situation. And you know what they don't want to do? They don't want to submit to the higher power that's over them. You obey us because we're smarter than you. We don't like him. So we will revolt. We'll burn electric cars. I think everybody did that should go to prison. Just like the riots. When my son has to own a bulletproof vest to do his job as an investigative reporter, standing out and trying to get information during different situations, something's wrong. Let it not be a believer being wrong. I used to preach against, you know, there's people, I believe in the sanctity of life. I believe life starts at conception. All right? I don't believe anybody has the right to harm anybody walking into an abortion clinic or bombing the clinic. But you know, there was people who claimed to be Christians who did that stuff. You know what I ask you? Show me chapter and verse. We're to be in subjection to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. We get the government we deserve. Don't like it? Guess what? God says, clean up your act. If believers, those who profess Christ as their personal Savior, those who claim to be born again, would do what God says in His Word, this country would be transformed. Stumbling blocks. Subjection. Okay. You know the time that you should go against the higher powers that overview? There is one time. One time. Turn to Acts chapter 5. We're coming back to Romans 13. Acts chapter 5. You have the imprisonment and the release of the apostles. Okay? They're in prison. They're getting released. In verse 27 of Acts 5, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked him, saying, did we not straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, with your teaching, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. See, you know what the apostles were there? They were the scapegoats that the world is trying to push the responsibility on. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to what? Rather than men. That's when you don't obey your government. When it's an issue of God says this and man says this, you do it God's way. Even if it costs you. I believe every born-again child of God should read Fox's Book of Martyrs at least one time. I think you ought to have the papers coming into your house from the Voice of the Martyrs, which is from a Christian group that doesn't believe exactly like us, but it talks about those being martyred around the world. And there's people being killed in every Muslim country on the face of this earth for their belief in Christ. They're being killed in every communist country. They're martyred every day in foreign countries. Our missionary, Dr. Paul Victor Grieco Makula. Shannon, hit the button. Just put a pause on it. Okay, don't do it then. You want to... Verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no evil to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of what? The law. being in subject will demonstrate your love of Christ. We are to pay Jesus, you know, I can remember, it was a Christian group that started, I don't know if some of you remember around this area, we used to have a group, there was, head of it was in Fulton, New York, okay, and they were rebelling against and saying, we are not going to pay taxes because the government is corrupt. How'd that go? They were told to pay tribute unto whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, honor to those authorities. If you teach your children to resent authority over them, the world's teaching them sometimes to resent your authority over them. Christian teachers in the public schools struggle. Do you understand me? And they get condemned in the whole thing. When you have a school system telling you come to us, you don't have to let your parents know. They're teaching them that the single closest authority in that child's life is not the authority they answer to. When you teach your children to resent and to not listen to those who are over authority of them, whether it be dads in a homeschool, you shouldn't broach your kids back talking your wife if she's the one doing the teaching. It ought to cost them. Okay? The Board of Education should be applied to the seat of knowledge. Plain and simple. You teach them to obey the authority. When you badmouth police officers, you say, well, there's bad cops. I'd much rather have a child run to a police officer than to run to a stranger. Do you understand me? You're subject to higher powers. If you love your neighbor, you will not need to fear the higher powers. We went into Canada to go check on Randy and Ellen. Everybody here knows a certain part of me that I keep on my hip. I had to leave them home. I couldn't carry my knife. I couldn't carry anything going into Canada because they're the higher power, as I'm trying to reach and minister to somebody that this church loves, supports, and is a missionary out of this church. Well, no one's got a right to tell me. Okay. It cost me a half hour at the border. Simply they could go through our vehicle. You understand what I'm saying to you? Them's the rules. Subject unto higher powers. The Bible teaches we're to do that. Can we all grumble? Yeah, I grumble at God. Have you ever grumbled at God? I have. I grumble at God. I'll say, God, why? And he'll go, dummy, you'll learn. You'll know it. When you go through it, you'll know it. You'll learn it. I grumble at the higher powers. I just shouldn't grumble in front of everybody else, especially my children. One day, Michael will grow up, and I won't have to worry about that. That's tough when you can look out there, you know, security, and he's sitting there shaking his head. Can't help it. Okay, that takes us to Romans 14. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful what? You know who argues more about doctrine with believers? It's not lost people, because they don't know. It's, I know something you don't know. I found something new in the Bible that no one ever learned for 2,000 years. He that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Amen. Rise, Peter. Kill and eat. Another who is weak eateth herbs. And that's how that's pronounced. Herbs. Let not he that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant to his own master? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. I had someone tell me, you can get upset with me, I don't care. Oh, I'm nuts, you've heard me say that a long time. I don't care. You can tell me, and I know that there's in the prophets that they took a tree out of the woods and they nailed something to the bottom and they hung it up and they put silver and gold on that, and it was the wrong worship. I don't care. I don't worship my tree. If you want to call me carnal for having a tree in my house, call me carnal. I don't worship that tree. But I also will have more grace with you than you're going to have with me. You know, it's one thing I've learned through the years. True Bible believers have more grace with other people than the other people have with him. They'll criticize you. You just think you're special because you believe the King James Bible. Yeah, I do. Yep. I got saved out of it. I believe it's perfect from cover to cover. Okay? I wonder who gets glory out of someone trying to take the Bible out of the hand of someone else, teaching them there's mistakes in their Bible. I've said, from a year after I got saved, I have more respect for somebody who believes the NIV is the perfect word of God without error than I do to somebody who doesn't believe they have a perfect Bible. Okay? Because when you don't believe you have a perfect Bible, that means you are the judge of it and it's not the judge of you. So stick that in your pipe and smoke it. Stumbling blocks. That's something we do to make another Christian stumble or fall or to sin. Do you know that there's strong Christians and weak Christians? There's sometimes a strong Christian becomes a weak Christian in something they're going through. You're supposed to spend your time doing what with them? Tearing them down? If a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are, restore such a one to the spirit of knowing ye yourselves what? Likewise can be tempted. All right? You know how you know you're spiritual? When someone else sees it in you. Because the minute I think I'm spiritual, I'm carnal. Because it's about me. So if you think you're spiritual, don't go around trying to help everybody with their problems. Okay? I say that in the love of Jesus. Don't argue over things, okay? That aren't going to change your salvation. We should be careful not to offend the weaker Christian, but to what? Build them up. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. How about this? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of? What does edifying mean? So, eat those bad words. Don't say them. Men, learn that in a marriage. This is not in the notes. And when your wife says, honey, does this make me look fat? Don't answer that. I ask my wife all the time, does this tie match the shirt? And she goes, yeah, if you want to look like a clown. But I like that tie. Doesn't go with that, honey. Okay. Don't do the same thing to your wife. All right? I tell you all the time, you correct a man, he'll tell you he doesn't agree with you, and he says, you're wrong, I'm right, I'm going to do it this way. Or he goes, okay, I was wrong what I was doing there. I'll change it. You tell a woman that, and she thinks there's something wrong with her. They're complicated. Don't lose sight of that. Women are complicated. Men are simple. I didn't say men are stupid. Don't misunderstand me. Women are complicated. All right? Don't put a stumbling block in front of your wife. You know what my wife hears from me all the time? Good morning, beautiful. Boy, you're so pretty. And she goes, you don't mean that. And I, yes, I do. And I run up and I kiss her neck or I kiss her lips. And I say, you're gorgeous. You know what she wants to be? She wants to be gorgeous for me. All right? As a man thinketh in his heart. You don't have to agree with me. You can be wrong. We're not to tear them down. The good to the use of edifying, that it may minister what? Grace to the hearers. Some things we do need to remember. We need to remember that we shouldn't argue over minor issues that will eventually be worked out when the weaker Christian grows up. In the context of this chapter, it talks about those who think it's wrong to eat meat. Give them time to grow up. Venison's good. Do you know something? In the scriptures, there is no dietary law in the New Testament applied to the Christian, other than what did they tell them? Told the believers not to eat things strangled or the blood. Think about it. People argue over that. Some people, you know, it can be healthy to be a vegetarian under some circumstances. And you know, there's some people that their heart gets weak and worse because they're vegetarians and they need some of the enzymes and the things from meat to help them. All I know is, in spiritually, some of us are in need of milk because we haven't grown up. And others, it says strong meat belongs to them who are full age, having their senses what? Exercise therein. Okay? Don't argue about it. Don't judge somebody because they can observe certain days of the year. Look at Colossians chapter 2. See if I got it right. Colossians chapter 2. This is written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Colossae, and he says in verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of what? Or of the new moon or of Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. We don't have to observe holy days. You know why we love Resurrection Sunday, not Easter Sunday? Easter Sunday is from Ishtar. You don't know what that is, ask pastor after the service. Resurrection Sunday, because it points us to the fact that it's an empty tomb, that he had victory over what condemns all unsaved people. So we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. It's my wife's favorite day, she'll tell you that. I got saved on an Easter Sunday. I believe Michael accepted Christ on Resurrection Sunday as a little kid. She loves that day. Someone doesn't keep that, don't have a problem with them. You know why? More Cadbury eggs for me. So they're stumbling blocks. Don't put them in front of people. Chapter 15 of Romans. Look at verse 31. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, in that my what? My service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints. And he goes on, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of all peace be with you. He's talking about our service there. We're a living sacrifice. It allows us to be focused on others and not on ourselves. I had to laugh. Somebody that I always laughed at when I was growing up, because all he was another unsaved rock singer. Okay. I had his name, went to say it and lost it. He's Jewish. They're just doing a movie about his life. Not going to see the movie. You know what he is now? He's a Messianic Jew. When he got saved, he came out with a song that said, you got to serve somebody. They take his music now and his poems, and they make kids learn it in the public school. That's how far down poetry's come in this country. Okay? But he got saved. And the first thing he recognized is, I'm going to serve somebody. Who are you serving? Who are you serving? You know, the more we focus on ourselves, the more selfish we become. I have to be careful not to focus on my injuries or my pain, because then I'll dwell on that. You know what it makes it happen? Makes it hurt worse. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to learn distraction techniques to not dwell with that. About the time I start dwelling on myself, I'll just go read Isaiah 53 and say, Lord, you know, I got it pretty good. Thank you. Thank you. You don't want to focus on yourself. How can you serve? Well, I'm not a pastor. You don't have to be. Look for ways how you can help your neighbor. Either to bring them to Christ or to grow in Christ. I love Philippians chapter 2, talking about my Savior. Okay, let this mind be in you, is also in Christ Jesus. Okay, verse 5, talking about him who, being God, made himself of no reputation, took on the form of a servant, made in like the fashion of men, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. But before that, look at verse 3 of Philippians 2. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each what? Esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. It doesn't mean to take them from them. It's to help them with them. Help your neighbor. Have mercy and grace with dealing with each other. It helps in the home. It helps in work. It helps at school. It helps with the neighbors. It helps in the town you live in, the state you live in. Have mercy and grace. God has it with you. And then give financially to Christians that are in need. Do you know when the Apostle Paul raised money for his missions work, you know what he was doing? He was raising some money to send back to Jerusalem. He was raising money to help other believers who are without. When we send money through Brother Paul, I've been there. I've handed out the bags of rice, the fabric that's made into clothing, 5 times. Been there. Makes a difference in their life. I've been there to see that when a Christian man comes in and he helps that village by drilling a well so that they have pure water for the first time, that the disease in that village goes down. Give financially so those are in need. Chapter 16, I got to finish this quickly. Sorry about the time frame. Salutations. Okay. He starts off, he says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant in the church, which is at Centrea. And he goes on, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. And it goes, salute, 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 down through here. You know what he's doing? Salutations or greetings. It's a way, you know what he's doing? He's expressing appreciation to them. He's complimenting them and giving them best wishes. The curse causeless will not come. Okay? On the street corners, I told you, I'm a scapegoat. We're going back to street corners where you've been held up with rain. Please come out next Saturday. Okay? We're scapegoat on the corner. Have people get upset with you. You know what I say to them? God bless you. Have a good day. Even when they won't take the track. God bless you. Have a good day. I've had them spit in my face. It doesn't happen very often. Most of the time, people are very good about it. They either will accept that, or they'll say, I don't want that, or they'll ignore you and walk away. So you don't base everything on some jerk, okay? So you turn around with that. You know, sometimes you can express appreciation. Man, how often do you tell your wife, thank you for fixing my meal? Yeah, but she's not a good cook. Maybe that's your fault. I'm telling you, women, they're complicated. They'll rise to the level of the love and honor given them. And these aren't in the notes this morning. I'm sorry. I just got to do that because I want my wife to know how much I love her. Okay. You express that, you know, it's part of serving the Lord. Many people have not heard, but they're instruments in the ministry. You know, when you're not here, you discourage as pastor. That's another pastor saying so. So you're ministering just by being in church. You minister to other people who come in and visit, and they see people in the church. You know, one of the problems across this nation, they go to churches and they see that they're empty. We've gone to visit a church and turn around, they got to clean the cobwebs out for somebody comes in with a baby. I was looking at Ed Church and I were talking about the number of little boys running around. And he goes, I love that testosterone. I said, but we need some more of the little girls. And he goes, are you sure? And I says, yeah, because I want those little boys to meet those little girls. Right, Mike Stanton? Yep. Amen. Remember, God sees everything you do. Christ will reward you someday. Judgment seat of Christ. Sometimes the reward is in this life. Sometimes it's not. We're part of one body. We're supposed to fit together. And it's a good idea to salute each other, to commend somebody, to look and no matter what, how little you think what they're doing is, to let them know you appreciate what they are what? Doing. And all God's people said? Take a quick break. Thank you.